Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. If the clouds will be full of rain, then empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, when I read that verse, it seemed self-explanatory. It almost kind of seems silly to say if the tree falls to the north, there it should be. The tree falls to the south, there it should be. Amen. But I believe there's truth here we ought to take time to consider. Now, let me ask you, what dictates which way the tree falls? Think about it. Think about it. Is it just a last-minute chance when it could still go in any direction? Something to think about. No, it's going to fall the way it's already leaning. How many of y'all cut down trees? Chainsaws. I know some of you, Daniel Boone dudes out there, you probably use a hatchet. How many of y'all done that? I know we have. Usually most of them will fall in the direction they're leaning. But try to get the tree to fall in a different direction than it's leaning. What's going to happen? You're going to end up hitting the car, hitting the house. How many of y'all done that? But God says when the tree finally lands, it's going to be in a stable, unchanging position. But it's going to land. Now catch this. It's going to land where it's leaning, where it's leaning. I'm talking about, now folks, stay with me. We have the right position, but sometimes we have dangerous leanings. I'm talking about teenagers who have standards, but they're leaning towards the world. I'm talking about preachers who have the right position, but they're leaning away from true biblical separation, leaning towards compromising to the world, and some has even fallen into the false doctrines. It would be wonderful if we were perfectly balanced and not leaning in any direction. But we have it. We have some out there that's doing that. Now please understand, balance is very, very important here. Do you know what happens right after you lose your balance? You fall. You fall. Again, if I don't try to maintain my balance, I'm going to fall. Not only that, I'm going to fall the way I'm leaning. Now, I said all that to say this. There's been some great men of God who started out right. They're standing tall. I mean, straight and tall for the cause of Christ. But over the years, they seem to start leaning. And eventually, they start falling. Now, tonight, God has laid on my heart to bring you a series of exposing false denominations in their teachings. No sooner has Christ established his church on earth than Satan shows up, set his little camp up to corrupt the church from inside. He raised up false ministers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 tells us that. To preach what? A false gospel. We find this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And thus produce false disciples. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. We know Jesus told his church there in Matthew 24, right before he comes, and we kind of preached this a couple of times in the last 5 or 6 weeks. I kind of touched on it there in Matthew 24. You look at it, not tonight, but when you get home in that chapter alone, which is the Olive Discourse, and he told his little church he had there on the Mount of Olives three times. The first thing he told them, beware of false teachings. Now we're talking about what was the sign, see, the church asked, in the times, what's going to happen? He said the very first thing, people's going to be deceived. And you'll find that. Let's go ahead and turn there. I'm not going to read the verse. I'm going to point out three verses, and we must move on. Matthew 24. Let's hear some pages turning, please. Matthew 24. And you'll see this in Matthew chapter 24. You'll see it in verse 5. Y'all there? Yeah. Amen. You see it. It says, for many should come in my name. Drop down also, you'll see it in verse 11. And many false prophets. Then you'll see it again in verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Also, God tells us in 1 Timothy, I'm laying a foundation now, church. Please stay with me. And I pray that you be here next Wednesday. And the Wednesday, you're going to learn why we don't agree with certain denominations. We can't be involved in this and that, because I'm not going to partake of a false teaching and the God's wrath come down on this preacher. Now, is it right to expose sin? And we're going to cover that tonight. Amen. In 1 Timothy 4:1, God tells us, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. When God calls a man to preach, he do so by his power, by his own spirit. And that, now listen, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to expose evil. I'm going to call it by its name. Where you get that, preacher? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 tells me that. To call it evil. To expose them. We need to know. Amen. Well, I don't understand why. For the time will come where they shall not endure sound doctrine. That's what Paul taught his preacher boy Timothy. Amen. Now, what's so sad about all this, now stay with me, church, they're good people. They're good people in these churches. But they're being deceived. They're being deceived. How many times have I heard, preacher, you're judging. And some of y'all been standing up for Christ. Some of y'all been told that. My. When I hear this, my discernment buttons go off. My flags go up. And the verse they use will be Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, I believe. Judge not, or you shall be judged. Huh? They said if you believe the Bible, then you can't condemn sin like homosexuality and fornication, adultery, or different religions like the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers. I thought Jesus did that. I thought Paul went in there and had to write two letters to the Corinthian believers because they had spoken this weird tongue stuff. Huh? My. Now that sounds good and compelling now, but it's unsound when you hear people try to justify their actions. To claim that we shouldn't say anything or nothing about other faith is contrary to the plain teaching of the Scriptures and the practice of Jesus Christ himself. Now turn with me to John chapter 7, verse 24. Now I want y'all to get this introduction, because next Wednesday I'm going to say the same thing pertaining to judging, where we could just walk out here in 2-3 months knowing when they start saying you're judging, you should be able to have enough ammunition to say, wait a minute. Then we're getting, you know, every Wednesday, again, well, hit this, thou shalt not judge thing. John 7:24 tells me there's a righteous judge. Somebody read that real fast. Who's got it? Brother Terry, read it, please.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
That's right. Tells me there's a righteous judgment. To question something that is right or wrong is not judging. Hello.
Right.
All right. When you go to a public restroom, what are you doing? You're looking at a little picture.
Well,
huh? Why don't you go with the little picture with the little skirt and the little blue animal thing or whatever that thing, silhouette, whatever, with the skirt on? Why don't you guys go on that? Well, you could be, you're judging. Huh? Y'all looking at me like I'm stupid. If they want to say we're judging, hey, we're going to talk about some stuff tonight. What are you going to do with Romans chapter 16, verse 17? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which we have heard. Huh? Exposing false denominations and false teachings. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 now. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at verse 1. But there was false prophecy also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you. Privately, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. My. And many shall follow their treacherous ways. But look, reason of whom they, what? Way of truth, shall be evil spoken of. Y'all evil. Y'all standing by the stuff over there. You're evil. That's what God says they're going to be calling. Hey, Isaiah chapter 5, last days. Y'all know this. People be calling good evil and evil good. Right? Amen? Folks, our pulpits have been silenced way far too long. Let me just say it that way. Far too long on these issues, and these false preachers that's out there are having a field day. You know why we have false preachers out there? Because Baptists should have been what they should have been, how God started the church. Because Baptists failed to stand up for the Word of God, look at our homes, look at our church, and look at our country. Baptist was it. John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and there were some doctrines there. Jesus said, this is my doctrine. Church, are you listening? That's what he's saying. And he took a small group of people and built the church of Jerusalem, the church of Antioch. And I believe James pastored that church at Jerusalem. Mega churches. They stuck by the stuff, but the apostles died. It won't be long where Brother Duff, we're going to be arrested for saying certain things from the pulpit. I see it coming. Now, there are so-called Christians out there saying we should never talk about other Christian faith. Again, when I hear that stuff, my first thought, that comes to my mind is they don't really know the Word of God like they should. Huh? Anybody that's out there telling people they're teaching you a different way, or let's say teaching you this is how to get to heaven, that's how to get to heaven, this way and that way. And you, folks, and it's not, if it's outside Jesus Christ, it's wrong. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. You're not going to heaven because you're Baptist. Right? You're going to heaven because you trust and put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've repented in your old ways. You're a new creature in Christ. Amen? That's how we're going to get to heaven. There's no divisions in heaven. Man has created this mess down here on this planet. Amen? To claim that we shouldn't say nothing about other faith is contrary, as I stated, to the teaching of the Scriptures. Plain and simple. My. You know, when I door knock and ask people there, I believe Brother Duff has heard me say this, where do you go to church? Well, let me back up. Sometimes I ask, are you saved? That's where I want to go. And they say, oh, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic, or a Methodist. What they're telling us is what they're trusting in to get them into heaven. You see what I'm saying? Baptist does the same thing. Baptist does the same thing. Now, folks, Jesus openly exposed the bad teachings of the Pharisees, did he not? About their oaths and about their duty to the government. He assured the false doctrines of the Sadducees pertaining to the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul rebuked the Corinthians for their tongue heresy, much like the tongues teaching practiced today. Brother, who was that with me Saturday? That was, Brother Eddie this past Saturday, where that lady just bombarded us with the tongue thing, man. I mean, just kind of jumped down our throats like we had, going to hell because we're Baptists or something. And, church, I'm not there for argument. And when she started in on us two innocent Christians, I said, I can't remember my words I said at first there, the couple sentences there. And then she said, so you don't believe in speaking in tongues or something like that? And I said, ma'am, Then I got right there. I wasn't afraid of her. She's about 6 foot five. Big as Eddie. No, she's tall as us. And I said, ma'am, I said, Jesus had more of the Holy Ghost than you and me put together. He never spoke in tongues. Thank you. And she wouldn't even shake my hand. I said, that's all I got to say. Ma'am, I have got to go. Then that's all I'm saying. That's how I said it. And but you see, if you know, and I pray y'all get out there soul winning, because that's very important. That's our duty as Christians. That's our duty. You got to soul win. But you're not there to argue, are you? And the devil will do anything he can to keep you at that door. When I was younger, boy, I sat there and battled with a debate on tongues or whatever it is. But I'm getting a little bit more wiser. See, the gray hairs are here. Amen. I'm not going to be tied down with an argument whether somebody next door needs to be saved. Amen. Jesus rebuked the legalizers for trying to enforce the Sabbath and other Old Testament ceremonies. Colossians 2:11-17. And we will be talking about the 7 day disadvantages. Amen. And he will do exactly the same today as I just mentioned, the 7 day advantage. Amen. Jesus will rebuke them, no doubt in my mind, because it's not lining up with that blessed book we have. You see, if my life is not lining up with this, I'm wrong. There's certain do's and don'ts in here I'm supposed to practice. If I'm ever going to convince the world there's a holy God, not a Hollywood God, not a man-made religion God where everybody wants to just do their own thing and just tip and just go on and live like the rest of the world. I tell you, when I got saved, I don't want to do that drinking stuff no more. I don't want to do that partying stuff no more, because that's not what Christ is about. That's going to help make up hell, by the way. Amen? But the whole book of Galatians is a book I want y'all to let's go ahead. I want to show you something. Galatians chapter 1. This is really not in my notes, but it just came to my mind. Galatians chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 7. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Now, Paul is having to, these are churches at Galatia. There's not just one church. There's different churches at Galatia in the area. And we don't know how many, but probably several of them, within 100 miles apart or so. But this is what Paul said. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As he said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In other words, somebody comes knocking at your door and tells you, hey, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's not lining up, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Some of y'all heard my teachings 2-3 years ago when I was hitting some on the JWs. They're witnessing out on these doors. And I know that's a different Wednesday night. But I'm just going to share that verse with you. I'm going to show you what God says pertaining to amen. God bless you. Let me get back here to John. Now, I want y'all to go ahead and turn to this 2 John. 2 John, verse 10. Now, this just not necessarily just talking about like the J.W. Mormons. It could be any group that brings you a teaching that, hey, this is how to get to heaven. And if it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus Christ, your flags ought to go up. Right. Amen? Your flags got to go up. I want you to look at how many times have we been guilty of a J.W. or a Mormon or, you know, a cult? And you say, God bless you, or amen. Well, this is what God says not to do. If there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't say amen or you partake of his sins. Y'all see? I didn't say that. That book says that. Please, church, understand. We serve and worship a big God. A big God. And we got to get this in our mentality, in our conscience here now, that, again, you're going to hear me say this for years until the angels close my eyes. We're born to serve. When you came out of your mother, you're born right off the bat to worship and serve God. God is a God of worship. He wants to be worshiped. He wants to be served. And then when we get around, his children goes around, and of course, God is, he's a God of grace. He's a God of agape love. Don't get me wrong. But the time's coming where he said that he's tired of it. He's tired of it. There's people where he'll stop dealing with one-on-one pretending, trying to get you to get saved for the last 20 years, and you still want to do your own thing. Brother Eddie? No, I'm saying when they bring you a doctrine outside of Jesus Christ, see, he's the only way to get to heaven. But that person pretends he's just a man like you and me, and he's a sinner just like you and me. You got to be careful, man. You don't pat him on the back and say, keep up the good work, brother, because he's having to send a lot of folks to hell. Do we not understand the devil is we're in the middle of a battle here? He's got to get the people, he's got to get the people convinced there's other ways to get to heaven. He's after God's throne. And we're caught in the middle of this thing. And you can thank Adam and Eve for that. I'm a sinner. And he's your great, great, my great, 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 5,000 more. Great, 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 granddad. Amen. Amen and amen. So you see, mark them. You know, we see this in Romans chapter 16. Mark them and brings you, which brings you damnable heresies. Church, please understand what I'm trying to say. This is a foundation tonight. And I pray that you take notes and don't draw pictures. And some of you teenagers, I'm going to be walking around these Wednesday nights, and if I see love notes, we will stand up and read it. Amen. Amen. This is very important. You got to help your kin folks. You got to help them. My kin folks, I mean, they know when I walk in the room, uh-oh. Mama, I'll see you. I got to go now. Just like some of your kin folks when I come to see some of y'all in the hospital. Oh. Huh? You see, it's not me they need to be concerned about. It's God. Because I'm going to have to answer to God just like you. Amen? But please take notes on these series. In that judging, when we talk about judging every Wednesday, we're going to hit these same notes on judging, that is, and perhaps add some more to it through this Wednesday. I want you to write it in your Bible. That way I want you to get it in your mind. Because there is judging. When God says, judge not, or thou shalt be judged, y'all understand if you read it in the context what he's talking about. I can't come up to Miss Duff and just because she has purple hair and all that stuff and jewelry in her face, I say, you're going to die and go to hell. And y'all know she don't do that, but I'm using her for example. That's judging. I can't say, man, he's got a beard, he's going to die and go to hell. I can't say that. That's judging. But what I can say, that J.W.'s saying that Jesus Christ is a sinner just like me. And that Mormon says I can have more than one wife. And they can pray over the dead like a purgatory type deal in Catholicism. We're going to hit Catholicism real hard for a couple Wednesdays. But we need to know this in these last days. That way when you're out there door knocking or you're sitting at a family reunion and they start in on you, you're not there to debate. Please don't get into debate because some of them's got enough religion, they're slam dunky. I've seen that. Especially newborn Christians want to stand up for God. I know this is right. And that slam dunking, they'll walk away from you with your mouth wide open. And you're standing there. And so, again, you just stand up for the cause of Christ. And remember this, church. Your authority that you have to stand up for the cause of Christ is that Bible. If you, listen, if you're not, we're bad about saying, I believe this. And there's nothing wrong to a point to say that. You hear preachers say it. Well, I believe this is how we need to do it. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But when you start saying, I believe that you don't have to go to church, and y'all hear that from your own kin folks, okay, you got to be sure, you know, how to answer that. Right off the bat, church, again, these are good people that's involved with some bad stuff. And, of course, you know, God told us in the last days, this is the way it's going to be. They're going to be killing you. And saying this in God's name. And be prepared. Because ISIS is coming on this grounds. On American soil. And it's coming. Remember this preacher said that. It'll start out as a little wolf, lone wolf things. And then it's going to become groups. Because when you can draw a crowd to Ferguson, Missouri. And push racism. Cause damage to good hard worker stores. And that's just here in America. Just think what ISIS could do with that group up there in Ferguson. You just let a white man walk down that street. Or a Mexican. Our politicians has put politics before the lives of the people. They had divided our country. Politics has divided your country. And when a house is divided by itself, it shall not stand. And we're about to fall, just like Rome did. How Rome fell, we're doing the same thing. Amen. Oh, heaven's calling. Amen. Eugene, let's shut the phone off, son. You don't want me to answer that. Amen. Now, please understand, we're not left to our own opinions here, all right? As to whether we should oppose false doctrines, the Word of God plainly teaches that it's morally right, now listen, morally right to expose sin. Amen? In Titus chapter 1, let's go there. We're going to read some verses. I'm laying the foundation. Titus chapter 1. Let's look at verse 9, Titus chapter 1, verse 9. You there say amen. Amen. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to sound doctrine, able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now, y'all understand, back in the Old Testament day, circumcision, that's relating to the circumcision on the male. Back in the Old Testament, every male that was born, it goes to the blood thing. Now, when you're saved, you're circumcised by the Spirit of Almighty God, by His blood. Okay, y'all study that out. You see in the New Testament, when it talks about uncircumcised and circumcision, it goes back to Abraham. And it's about the blood. That's how important the blood is. I'm not saved by the water baptism. My sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 tells me that I'm washed by the sins. Ephesians 1:7 tells me I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So I don't care what Mary Baker Eddy says. Huh? Christian Science woman. It's Jesus' blood that washed my sins away. Amen. Amen. Titus chapter, where was I at? Let's look at verse 11. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Hey, that's all over the place now. That's why it's hard to teach people to tithe. Because you got the TV evangelism out there. For filthy lucre's sake. Huh? One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Saracens are always liars. Corinthians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. What does it say, church? Wherefore what? Sharply. Oh, you're judging. Well, what are you going to do with that verse? Man, sooner or later you take all the verses out pertaining to rebuke and correction. You take it all out, and you know what you're going to have? A NIV Bible. Amen. That they may be sound in the faith. My. In other words, those who subvert the whole houses with false doctrines must be exposed, and their mouths must be stopped. Okay? Now, here's another thing. We, a few months back, a year ago or so, we was teaching on biblical separation. A lot of folks that's out there that doesn't really read their Bible, and if they did, they got it from grandma or grandpa or mom and daddy from some liberal church down the road, and their mentality is what mama had said in the past. You see, you stick by the stuff, that King James Bible, in your modesty, your communication changes and so on. But you start saying, hey, we don't watch rated R movies. You know, here's another thing that the liberals and modernists, and you know what a liberal is. You know what a modernist is, man reasoning instead of God's. Just like they're saying, you're judging, this is what they're saying. When you stand for the doctrine of biblical separation, you're legalist. Okay, you're going to be called that because you're standing up for what's right. Well, let's go to the bars. Listen, one beer won't hurt. And you said, no. There's 150 verses, and the Bible says not to even put the bottle to your lip. And they said, well, you're a legalist. A legalist is what? By works. Salvation by works. Listen, it's the grace of God that teaches me biblical separation. I'm going to say that again. It's by the grace of God that teaches me biblical separation. Please understand that. And when you're standing up for the cause of Christ, as I preach Sunday, you're going to be called everything. You're going to be condemned even by your own parents. They ain't going to kill you nothing like that. Unless they're ISIS or something. But y'all know what I'm saying? You practice that Bible. Just as Jesus said, they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. And what's so sad is some of y'all know the biblical separation doctrines. You know this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what... But yet we do just half of it because we're having fun in our own unrighteousness. Y'all see what I'm saying? The motto is, I'm not hurting nobody. I'm not going to go to hell. But you're setting an example that God is a worldly God. You're saying, you're bringing God down, first of all, to your level. And you're saying, this is what I think and this is what I believe. And you're deceiving the other people around you. They raise their kids in that mentality. And poof, all of a sudden, you find God. You find a good church. You got a church that's got the doctrines. You got the church that's going right in line. And first thing you know, there's trouble in the household. But you got to stick by your stuff. Y'all know what's right. My do's and don'ts in there. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. Oh, my. I wonder how many of y'all hit your thumb with a hammer. I know you ain't going to be singing Amazing Grace. Brother Terry knows. Now, thank God I'm glad I'm close to God, but I have done that in front of Brother Terry, haven't I? And I can't sing Amazing Grace, but it's a screeching voice. Amen. But sometimes people will say bad things. And by the way, It's not God's fault when you take the name, Lord's name in vain. His last name is not damn. Huh? Somebody help me here. Amen. That's one of the commandments, ain't it? Amen and amen. Let me move on. Y'all think we're ever going to get to Calvinism tonight? It's good stuff. Now, God taught us in His Word that we must contend for the faith. Jude is a good book to read on that. You got to contend for the faith. Y'all read the book of the Trail of Blood. It's the history of the Baptists and the Catholics. You'll find where the Protestants came in view. It's called the Trail of Blood. It's a history of the Trail of Blood. Okay, they killed Baptists. They literally killed them, burned them at stake, and whatever they did. Hey, or that Bible, I preached on the King James Bible several Wednesdays. Well, tell you, that Bible that we have, we ought to be praising God for, because those guys and families died in the age of Reformation, the Dark Ages, especially in the 1500s, 1600s. They died at the stake to give us, to preserve that thing. But see, God said His Word will be preserved forever, and His Word will not return to Him void. If He says and He promised you blessings and showers of blessings because you tithe, get ready for it. You don't need a wheelbarrow, you're in the dump truck. All you got to do is have faith. And I taught you all that. It's not so much about the amount you're giving, which, you know, to a point it is, because you got Hebrew, tithe in Hebrew means 10. But it's a condition of your hearts. God don't need our money. Did y'all know that? And I still praise God that I said, God, thank you for not me keeping 10, you getting 90. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Now, then let me go ahead and say this. Our forefathers once stood for and died for. And, you know, what they died for, we take it for granted. I just kind of mentioned that briefly a little while ago. And some people say, well, it's not that big of an issue. It is a big issue. When they're telling people how to get to heaven outside the blood of Jesus Christ, it's a matter of our loved ones spending eternally in the devil's hell. Ms. Goins mentioned them, was it kinfolks? Right, that's what I'm talking. It is very important. It does matter. You know, like homosexuality, it's wrong. And perhaps some of your kinfolks here, I don't know, but I do know it's wrong. It's sin. It's sin. And it will never be accepted in the gates of heaven. So you better work with them. You better talk to them about their salvation. Get rid of that and tell them to get rid of that NIV or the American Standard and get a hold of that old-fashioned King James Bible and read it. You see, a lot of these teachings I'm teaching tonight, y'all can also learn over a period of time if you just read your Bible. You'll see where there's a difference. Does it line up what I'm saying tonight? Is it lining up with this book? And you could take, again, I don't want to get into all the Bibles, but there's what, 260 new Bibles out there and more being printed. But it is a big issue when I got kinfolks that's Pentecostal, and we're going to hit the charismatic movement. Good people. And I have led Pentecost to the Lord. I have led Catholics to the Lord. Even though they went back to that false teaching, but if they're truly saved, they're going to go to heaven. Now, they might not have no rewards. Y'all understand that? Being the seed of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But they made it to heaven. If they're truly saved, not trusting in the Pope and kissing the man's hand and feet, has nothing to do with what this Bible says. Thou shalt call no man father except the one in heaven. Well, that'll hurt a lot of Catholics right there. You want to confuse a Catholic? My dad was Catholic. You want to confuse one? Just go to John chapter 2. What did Mary tell Jesus to do? Or what did Jesus tell Mary to do? You see, a lot of Catholics are putting their faith and trust in Mary. And it's nothing to do with Mary. There's a little pamphlet out here that I encourage y'all to get out there. One of them says, why I'm... Brother, it's a Catholic book. Brother Eddie, go around that corner and get it and just read the title to me. I can't remember, dealing with Catholics or something. It's good for soul winning. You need to know what you're up against at these doors. Yeah, what's it say on the front? Right. And a lot of them set in their ways. How many parents has pulled their kids Catholic? Now, I'm not racist or nothing like that, but majority of the Spanish are Catholics. Now, if you were a missionary down in Mexico like I was, you'd know that. Now, majority of the Mexicans that's here in McAllister, those kids come here for 6, 8 months, 9 months. But once you get them saved, just like VBS this past summer, we had 3 little Mexican kids saved. You know what mama did? Pulled them out. Because in their eyes, we're wrong. And I've seen that in 9 years here. Because that's what they don't read their Bible, and if they did, it's the Catholic Bible. But 90% of them won't read their Bible. And they're just going by a tradition where everybody flocks in. Flocks in. Please understand this. What's going on in your eyes in the world today through our windows of our heart is very serious. The signs of the times are here. This is the closest we ever been being raptured out of this place. And it's going to get harder. Because we still got 18 more months of this president and his wimpy Republicans. And if that's the same bunch that's coming, that's going to stay up there after the new president, we're still going to be messed up. We need a whole new crew up there. It's going to take the act of God. But I'm afraid we have abandoned God for so long. I mean, you came and put a cross on your streetlights in this town, all because one atheist. You see, the black robe dudes up here, your judges, they're afraid of something. See, ACLU started in the 30s. They shouldn't have never started that organization. When I see ACLU on the steps there in Philadelphia, Ohio, whenever it was a couple years ago, and they had George Washington statue there, or Abraham Lincoln, one of them, they covered that to have their meeting right on the steps, and probably 300 people showed up on the front steps of that government building, but they had to cover that statue. Folks, time's coming. You got to understand, not only the devil has the influence in our homes, but it also to the windows of your hearts by one push of a button on that website. You see, there was a reason Genesis 11 came into effect, the Tower of Babel, where God confused their languages. They said, we're going to go to heaven this way. There was all one language. Y'all understand? Stay with me. Then all of a sudden, God said, okay, they think you're big, huh? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to confuse their language. And so they went to different parts of the world. Couldn't understand each other. And now we're all back to one language. All it is one push of a button on the website. It's coming. It's coming. And the devil's having a field day because we as Baptists ain't standing up like we was 200-300 years ago because we're afraid we'll offend somebody. We're afraid to get hurt somebody's feelings. And the pastors are to blame for it. They have compromised with the world, and the people love their pastors, don't get me wrong. But when they come to your church or you go to theirs, don't y'all see a big difference? Huh? Y'all see a big difference? Good people, but you're not being fed. I want my kids, I want to go to church when my kids are being fed. Amen? There's nothing wrong with having fun in church. Anthony, you're doing a good job in junior church. You got a bigger room coming up soon. Nothing wrong. Continue on. Preach. Teach them the Bible like you always have. And then the snacks. And then games or whatever y'all do. You know, I know they kick the ball and throw the things in the little loops and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, we have got some big plans for the junior church coming up this spring. And I'm going to share that later on. Yeah, I'll tell you, these kids are going to love it around here. Amen? Amen. But there's no doubt these false teachers and stuff. Hey, God warned us, you know, there in Corinthians, there's going to be ministers changing themselves. Well, actually, they're working for the devil. They come to you in ministers of righteousness, but the wolves in cheap clothing. Okay? And they're bringing heresies that's going to damn many souls. And let me remind you, it will cause strife and division among God's people. As I just touched on that, about even in the churches, even with your own family members. Because one, it represents sin, and they don't see nothing wrong. Why they don't see nothing wrong? When you take God out of the school system right off the bat, they ain't going to see nothing wrong with it. When you take God out of your government, you take 10 commandments out off the school room walls and replace it with free condoms, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a crime rate that's going up. You're going to have more divorces ever than in the history of this time. My prayer and your prayer has always been this, to put God back in our school system. Amen. Brother Duff, there in Crowder, he's a teacher, and Brother Gray's a teacher. And I feel for y'all, because all it's going to take is one child to go to an atheist parent, and they'll tell him to stop what he's saying, or whatever, you know, even just a gesture about God. Yes, brother? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. You see, that's what I'm talking about. And when I see, heard yesterday, in church, I'm going to have to, I want to get to the end of this thing before I get on the five-point Calvinism. John Calvin, man, he messed up a lot of folks. ISIS killed 45 more people yesterday. Okay, they was Iraqis. That wasn't Christians, but there was Muslims. You know what they did to them? They burned them. They burned them. Yesterday, 45. That was Muslims. They wasn't yielding to ISIS. Okay? And what are you saying this for, preacher? Again, church, we're coming to a place, a time in our life, in biblical prophecy, where it's just not the Jehovah's Witness and Mormons that's going to be hurting us. Well, it has hurt God, not just us and our kinfolks, but we're talking about Islamic religion. And we'll be hitting on that real hard. Now, I said this earlier, and this is why I'm saying it again, is I showed a DVD here in 08, when Obama, right before he got elected, and I showed it again recently about him pertaining to he is a Muslim. He told the ABC reporter that. You remember those scenes I had in there? All you hear on the news, the media, in the media, now the media will break you, or, you know, it'll make you or break you. They got too much power. The president needs to get with the politicians and crack down on all that stuff. If there's a phone going off, y'all have got to shut those phones off. It's in the bulletin. Please do that. Man, I lost my train of thought now. I was showing those scenes, and all you hear from the media for the last 6 to 8 months or more is, what is this man thinking of? Why is not communicating? He didn't mention Christians. Pertaining to the 21 that was beheaded. There was 21 Christians beheaded 2-3 days ago over there in Libya, northern Africa. And they videotape all this stuff. And the news reporters, these things happen, that man is out of touch with reality. And they go on, and it could be like the Benghazi case. He's out playing golf. And this and the other politician, and Harry Reid and another bunch. They're doing this and doing that. And then it comes back on our leader. Man, what is he thinking? You know, we tried to tell him 2 years ago, keep troops in Iraq. Oh, this is going to happen. But what is he doing? What's wrong with him? I tell you what's wrong with him. He's a Muslim. I have got proof on that. I got on DVD because before he made president, there were some good, honest reporters interview him, and it's on different clips, and I have it. And I can't believe Fox News can't gather all that up. There's the problem. When he writes his book as a senator, to his father called The Audacity to My Father, I can't remember the page, and I use that once in a while here. I got it pinned in my office on the side of my wall. he wrote in there, if the political winds ever fail, I will always stick by the Muslim. Why don't these reporters throw all this up? They're scratching their head. Hannity doing it. O'Reilly can't believe all this. He's a Muslim. In their Quran, death to the Christian. Death to the Jew. You touch the apple of his eye, you touch God. You touch Israel, you touch the apple of his eye. And we're going to see a chain of events coming up soon. Real soon. Amen. Amen. Y'all still with me? I've got to close. I know y'all got school tomorrow. Then we're talking about false teachings and ISIS and Islamic religion. Again, Allah is not the same God you serve. That's a moon god. Now, we have denominations out there. They believe in ceremonies and traditions, works, and water baptism. That's regeneration, by the way. Baptism, born again, regeneration by water. Okay? We don't believe in that. These are different doctrines that's out there through different religion. And we're taking the Lord's Supper. We got several denominations. You take the Lord's Supper, you're going to heaven. That's not what this book says. It says there, this doing of remembrance. We do it because God asked us to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember him, that his bones was broken. In the symbolic picture of the juice is a symbolic picture of his blood. I believe that's in John 6. He is the bread of life. Let me give you an example. One who depends on the Mass or on baptism for salvation most likely ain't going to enter heaven. Okay? Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember that this chapter and verse, and several preachers use this, evangelist and Terry, and it's John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. And no man can come into the Father but by him. Amen? Again, I get kind of tired of people saying you're judging. Well, I hate to break it to you. I'm closing. I hate to break it to you, but that Bible is a judgment book. And by the way, in you read Revelation, the books are open. I believe in the Romans, and I can't remember what verse and chapter it was in Romans, but that Bible is one of the books you're going to be judged by when you face him. Amen? If people would read the Bible more often, they wouldn't show their ignorance. Amen? Don't judge. And I always said this, you better obey the word of God and judge that righteous judgment before your kids, children go to the devil's world, the devil's hell. Amen? That's John 7:24. Remember that chapter. Remember that verse. We judge. There's a judgment of parents, but God says, hey, judge the righteous judgment. And we better line our lives and our children up with this blessed book. Amen. Again, the Bible teaches that it is morally right to destroy sin and build righteousness. I just read John 7:24 to you. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Let me give you a couple of examples real fast, and I promise we're going home. Moses reproved Aaron, did he not? Came out of Mount Sinai. Aaron done made him a party downstairs, didn't he? Took the jewelry that was the Egyptians and made a golden calf. You see, America's problem is we serve many gods. Not a god of material so much, but a god of gold and silver. Elijah reproved Baal's prophet. John the Baptist called the Pharisees, a religious organization, a generation of vipers. Stephen was stoned, calling the Jews stiff-necked. Our Lord fought evil, exposed religious wickedness, doctrine errors too, during his entire ministry. That's why the religious group, the lawyers, the scribes, and the Pharisees, all religious folks, And God said, you're a hypocrite. You're going to die and go to hell. Now, and Paul, as I said, rebuked the Corinthian church for their tongue heresy. Okay? Now, I want to, let me just stop right there. And we'll have about a 15-minute next Wednesday night. A couple more verses I want to share with you. And then we're going to expose the false teachings of John Calvin. Amen? And please, y'all take notes. And Anthony's recording this. We'll have a nice binder because I want these in the series for y'all. Amen? So let's go ahead and stop right there. Let me put me a note here. Go ahead and stand, my brother. Oh, did I not? Oh, Brother Allen, I'm sorry. Hey, while y'all stand up, Brother Allen and Brother Duff is going to pass out. I want you, this was in our newsletter, I don't know, a few months back or so, and it goes out to people here in the church, and I think Brother Hendricks gets one out in California and a couple other people in Arkansas and in Texas. But I want y'all to read that when you get home. And you'll see it goes, you know, when people say you're a judge, I want you to remember this letter. There's a lot of truth there, and it comes from the King James Bible. Heavenly gracious Father, we love you. We thank you so much for meeting with us tonight. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your presence being filled, Father. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, there's so much. I'm excited, Father, for Titus 2:13 is kicking in. And because we know there is just soon this world's going to come to an end. But right before that, I know that you're going to come back, Father. And we need to be about your business. We need to be about our Father's business. That is continuing winning, sharing the gospel, and teaching. Lead them to you, Father. And then once we lead them to you, as you're in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark 16 states, we're going to have to get them baptized and then teach them. And teach them for they go out and reproduce themselves. That's what it's all about, people. Father, please be with us. If we forgive us of our many sins. Sometimes we lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. We get bogged down with worries and treasures, materialistic things. And we ain't supposed to be doing that. But the devil knows our weaknesses, Father. But please, Father, use me as a mighty tool. Use me as a mouthpiece, Father. We got to stay plugged into the power source. Oh, God, I pray for protection on each one of these families tonight for what they heard tonight. Very often they will ever hear that down the street in another church. 30, 40, 50 years ago, we didn't have to worry about the new Bibles, didn't have to worry about false teachings, so to speak. It was out there, but not like it is today. We preach more on Jesus Christ, your Son, resurrection. But now we got to preach once saved, scared of believer, we got to preach this and preach that. Teach us, Father. Oh, God, we love you. Protect my brothers and sisters tonight, Father. Give them traveling mercies. God's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.